Jeremiah 46, the word of Yahweh, which came to Jeremiah concerning the nations. About Egypt, well, got to remember that Judah were tempted to trust in Egypt rather than trusting in God for help against the threat from Babylon. Concerning the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, struck in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Prepare the buckler and shield, draw near to battle, harness the horses, rise up, you horsemen. Why have I seen it? They are dismayed and are turned backward, and their mighty ones are beaten down and have fled apace and don't look back. Terror is on every side. Don't let the swift flee away, nor the mighty man escape. In the north, by the river Euphrates, have they stumbled and fallen. So all their human strength, how swiftly they could travel, how mighty they were, it was all going to come to nothing. And it's the usual message of the prophets that all that man counts as mighty and strong and fast is going to come to nothing. So don't look at some fast car or whatever, some humanly strong thing that you think, if I've got that, I shall be okay. It will all come to nothing. Who is this who rises up like the river Nile? Egypt rises up like the Nile, and his waters toss themselves like the rivers. And he says, I will rise up, I will cover the land, I will destroy cities. Go up, you horses, rage, you chariots, let the mighty ones go forth. Cush and Put, who handle the shield, and the Ludim, who handle the bow. For that day is of the Lord, Yahweh of armies. God is the one who's got real armies, armies of angels. A day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour and be satisfied. For the Lord has a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take balm, virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain do you use many medicines, there is no healing for you. The Egyptians are well known for their medicine and for their medical research, as it was in those days. But God is saying, that is not going to save you. There is no healing for you. The nations have heard of your shame. The earth is full of your cry. The mighty man has stumbled against the mighty. They are fallen, both of them together. So again, human might is not right, and human might is going to come down. The word that Yahweh spoke to Jeremiah, how that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and strike the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt and publish in Migdol, Memphis, and Tarpanes, say, stand forth and prepare, for the sword has devoured around you. I think that this prophecy was maybe given somewhat later, when the Jews had already gone down into Egypt after Nebuchadnezzar had taken Jerusalem, and God had told them, don't go down. But they did. They thought that Egypt would save them. And now Jeremiah is told to go and publish all over Egypt, because he went down to Egypt with the people to desperately try to get them to repent and go back to Judah. So declare in these cities where the Jews were, Migdol, Memphis, and Tarpanes, stand forth and prepare, the sword has devoured around you. God speaks, as Paul says, about those things which are not, as though they are. The sword of Babylon had not yet come, but it's said that it has already come, because the destruction of Egypt, of the flesh, of human strength, is that certain. Why are your strong ones swept away? They didn't stand because Yahweh pushed them over. He made many to stumble. They fell one on another. They said, arise and let us go again to our own people. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has let the appointed time pass by. I think that that means that God gave Egypt and Pharaoh a period of time in which they could repent and turn to him, but they didn't. Just as I think he did when Israel were in Egypt, and the plagues were really designed to get Egypt to repent. So God gives people a period of time to repent, and if they don't use it, then judgment comes. And we've all been given the same period of time. And we need to repent, to be baptized, and to abide with Jesus while there is opportunity. As I live, says the King, whose name is Yahweh of armies, surely like Tabor among the mountains and like Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. I think it's talking about how Babylon will come and destroy Egypt. You, daughter who dwells in Egypt, furnish yourself to go into captivity. Memphis will become a desolation, will be burnt up. Egypt is like a beautiful heifer, but destruction out of the north from Babylon has come. It has come. Well, it hadn't yet come, but the idea is it's going to come, and it's as good as if it's come. Her hired men, the various soldiers she got hold of from nations around her, her hired men in the midst of her are like calves of the stall. They flee away. They don't stand. The sound of it shall go like the serpent. They shall march with an army and come against her with axes like woodcutters. They shall cut down her forest. They are more than locusts. They're innumerable. The daughter of Egypt will be disappointed. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north, the Babylonians. The God of Israel says, I will punish Ammon of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with her gods and her kings, even Pharaoh and those who trust in him. That was the people of God, the people of Judah who had fled down to Egypt. And I will deliver them into the hand of those who seek their lives and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But don't you be afraid, Jacob, my servant, neither be dismayed, Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be quiet and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Don't be afraid, O Jacob, my servant, says Yahweh, for I am with you. For although I will make a full end of all the nations where I have driven you, I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in measure, and will in no way leave you unpunished. So again, we see how in the prophets, you've got a prophecy of judgment against the Jews who were trusting in Egypt, but then straight away, right next to it, you've got this assurance that God's long-term plan is to save his people, because God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and he wants more than anything else for his people to repent. He has to punish them, but that punishment, he says, is correcting them. Unfortunately, many of them refuse to be corrected. And that's the tragedy of so many human lives, the tragedy of the history of Israel, so much suffering, but people don't want to get the lesson. Repent.